listening to Fresh Take.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
All you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans out there, not just only in the home of F101 Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but around the world. Welcome to a brand new episode. If you're hearing my voice, it can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. And as always, we're going to start off this episode with the hot topics. This is everything you need to know in the world of F1. Well, it looks like we will officially have an 11th team. Cadillac has been approved 2026. They have all their ducks in a row. Andretti's gone, which is always a good thing for them. FIA is all happy. Plus, Cadillac only had to pay a north of $400 million to come and play. But what does that $400 million get you? It gets you even playing field. It gets you, especially for the 2026 season, new regulations, new format, no DRS, all that kind of fun stuff. It gets them on a level playing field. It gets them equal share with the rest of the 10 teams in there for profit sharing, for sponsorship, for all that kind of fun stuff. Gets them in on the lucrative media deal. Everything is officially said and done, except for who Cadillac will have for their very first two drivers. Again, I really hope that it is Daniel Ricciardo. I hope it is Kevin Magnussen. I hope it is some guys that we actually want to see on the grid. I guarantee they're going to have some kind of American name out there. Who it's going to be, your guess is as good as mine. I will be very, very interested to see who that is. Hopefully we'll find that out sooner rather than later. Moving on, 2028. Yes, we're not even, we barely begun 2025, and we're looking into the future. 2028 is the next set of engine regulation changes. So 2026, new cars come in, new regulations start from there. All of a sudden, that there are rumors now that they're changing the engine manufacturing rules and regulations again for 2028, except for, in my opinion, it's going in the much more entertaining direction, not necessarily fuel efficient or environmentally friendly, but for all of us who used to watch Formula One back in the day, you remember the V10 engines? Remember those engines that you could hear from 12 miles away because they were that high pitch around the corner, bat out of hell speed? Well, really, really, really consistent and really high-end rumors have it that they're going back to a version of the V10 engine for the 2028. They are trying to eliminate the hybrid technology. They feel like they've gone as far as they possibly can with it any further. And then all of a sudden you're heading into Formula E. For those of you who don't know what Formula E is, it's Formula Electronic. Essentially what it is that it is a non-combustion engine through and through. It's a totally 100% electric car. The pit stops are hilarious. They swap out the tires and then they plug in the car. And they just sit and wait and wait and wait and wait. And when they take off, it sounds like a high-end vacuum cleaner. It is the funniest thing you will ever see. So rumor is that because any more development, like I said, even in the hybrid technology, they're going to start going more towards the electronic route, which Formula E is already above and beyond much more advanced than Formula One. So I really hope they bring back Formula 10s or V10s. V10 engines is the heyday of Formula One cars. The sound, the performance, everything else. I really, really hope it happens. And last but not least, going into the second round of the 2025 championship, there are already some rule changes that came out of Australia. There was a ton of conversation about front wing flex. Red Bull last year and the year before, they had a very flexible front wing. The FIA came in, ended up changing the rules. It had to be stiffer, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to the Australian Grand Prix. Videos come out to a bunch of the cars. Their rear wing is starting to flex even more than their front wing, which is supposed to give them more downforce, more control, blah, blah, blah. So the more important thing about that is all of a sudden they've introduced a new rear flexi wing rule, brand new to 2025. Essentially what it states is the gap between the main plate of the rear wing and the slot gap. So when you look at the rear wing, you're going to see the wing set up, and then you're going to see the part that moves from DRS, and you're going to see the front, the established wing. There's another gap in there. It cannot make a difference of more than 2 millimeters. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you add 300 kilometers an hour plus downforce equals a lot more control, a lot more downforce, better turning, better breakage, they all figured that it wouldn't be, like, people would start to exploit this. Red Bull was at the front of this petition going, hey, if you weren't allowing us to do this, you're definitely not allowed to do this on the rear wing. FIA, F1 agreed. So now we've got this rear wing rule in already for the second race of the season. I feel like we're going to get a bunch more of these rules back and forth, essentially the teams nitpicking the aerodynamic efficiency of the cars, ruling this out, banning this, putting this in, putting other things into application. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The new rules are changing for the 2026. I know you want it to be as fair as possible, but this could definitely get out of hand extraordinarily quickly, especially with, I mean, I know teams would pay someone to specifically look at every other car going, that's flexing too much, appeal that, that's flexing too much, appeal that. It could just get really bogged down really, really, really fast. Oh, actually, one more thing for Hot Topics. Something funny that you would have noticed if you watched the post-race or the after-race festivities from Australia. We had our very first curse word said in the cool down room. It wasn't by Max Verstappen. It was kind of by somebody you wouldn't necessarily expect. It was from His Majesty George Russell. He said his first curse word. No action from the stewards. No action from the FIA. Nobody was fined. So for those of you who don't know, George Russell is kind of like the player's representative to the FIA. He's the driver's rep. And if anyone wants to get their very first fine and make sure the FIA stays with what they're going to do, it would kind of be appropriate if it was George Russell. And again, nothing is coming around even for this race weekend. I don't think they're going to enforce this rule at all. No fine, no word of a fine. We're talking about the Chinese race already. We're talking about a week later and there's been no repercussions whatsoever. I think that this punishment program and the deduction of points and the suspension was just a whole lot of bullshit, a whole lot of wind and smoke that was going to absolutely come to nothing. And they kind of proved it right there. It was a sneak. Even Max Verstappen made a voice, covered his mouth, or a face, covered his mouth. Lando Norris pointed at him and he's kind of like, ooh, you're going to get in trouble. And a whole lot of nothing came from it. So point proven. The president of FIA, F1, he can boast and he can post rules all he wants. But if you're not actually going to follow through with it, then what is the point on having these rules at all? And that is everything you needed to know in the world of F1. That is the Hot Topics. We are moving straight into the very first sprint weekend of the season. 1 hour of practice, then it goes right into sprint qualifying, then right into sprint race. No other practices allowed for the entire weekend. You're going to go into the Grand Prix qualifying and then into the Grand Prix race. Let's head into Q1 sprint qualifying. Unlike last week, the weather in China was absolutely perfect. No wind, no cloud, no nothing. Really, really no excuse for these guys to not absolutely haul ass. Except for a couple of guys, like Carlos Sainz looking slow again this weekend, looking kind of unsure about where the Williams wants to go, what the direction of the Williams is. You know he's trying his damnedest, but he just cannot get that speed that he wants, that he's used to be totally honest, from the Ferrari. Now he is in a different team. They are a little bit lower down, so he's got to expect something to be slightly different. He just looking very slow. Pierre Gasly, not a great looking qualifying either. Again, this is for the sprint. So you're going to get some extra points, but it's almost more of a research project at this point for the majority of the teams that aren't in the top five. They're just going to figure out how the cars are reacting, how well the track is holding up the tire conditions, all that kind of fun stuff. Pierre Gasly, not exactly looking fantastic either. People who did find absolute pace, fastest on track, both Ferraris, Leclerc and Hamilton, absolutely showing pace where Ferrari needs to be at the beginning of this season. Hamilton just showing the confidence that he needs to have first thing out of the group or out of the bat on the Ferrari car. The Ferrari fans are not going to, they're going to get on him real fast. When he wins, they're going to be super happy. When he has a hiccup, they're not going to be happy at all. The Tifosi are not a forgiving fan base group. So hopefully Hamilton keeps up this fantastic streak. He's going more confidence every single race, every single weekend. Hopefully it'll be a good season for him. You can tell just by the timing, a lot of these drivers are still getting used to the new cars. A lot of these drivers haven't driven China before. A perfect example, from the first to the 15th spot, you saw a difference of 1.3 seconds. Between first and just making the cut into Q2, 1.3 seconds. Now, this can mean several things. This can mean that some of the cars aren't running the way they're supposed to. This could mean a lot of these guys are just not used to the brand new Pirelli tires. Pirelli did put a bunch more air into the tires for this weekend. The schematics have changed, so the tires feel different. The tires are reacting different. Pirelli is trying to find the best compromise between duration and durability. Hopefully they find it sooner rather than later. They weren't exactly amazing on this track. Now, this track is quote-unquote new. Formula One hasn't been on it for a couple of years, but they did build this track. They did put down the new asphalt for a very specific reason. They wanted Formula One back. The facilities look amazing. Mm-hmm. The track looks fantastic, but the thing is that the track is run, but it's not run very often. So it's still kind of in that brand new, slightly used condition. But now that being said, the tires should be holding up a lot better than they are. I think Pirelli needs to go back to the drawing board for the rest of the year. Look at the type of tracks they're going to be running and hopefully find some kind of middle ground for that. Let's get into the bottom five. Q1, we're going from 20th to 16th. Liam Lawson in 20th. Nico Hülkenberg in 19th. Esteban Ocon in 18th. Pierre Gasly in 17th. And Jack Doohan in 16th. Another very, 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 very bad qualifying round. I know it's a sprint race, but still, super bad qualifying round for Liam Lawson. His days are kind of officially numbered. I know it's only the second race, but he's not showing the grit, the determination, and the get up and go that he had when he had his opportunities last year when he drove for Red Bull. He had a specific kind of a very Red Bull-esque, fuck you, this is why I'm here, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need to do to be here and to stay here. And he just doesn't have it in the second race of the season. Unfortunately for him, I want to say he needs to find it sooner rather than later, but I think the writing on the might already be on the wall for him. He might get bumped down to Racing Bulls, for Japan, race three, maybe five races in, and then he'll get kicked down to Racing Bulls. I do believe he'll get replaced by either Isaac Hadjar or Yuki Tsunoda, both really solid choices. It's going to be, I foresee, a very short stint for Liam Lawson in that Red Bull seat. Moving right on into Q2, Kik Sauber looking really, really fast, which is fantastic. They finally found that speed, that aerodynamic that they needed to. Unfortunately for them, they're kind of figuring out what everybody else already knew. Just because you can go super, super fast doesn't mean you're super, super stable. A couple of near disasters for them in Q2. They did manage to hold it together. Nobody hit the wall. It was a really good showcase of the direction that Sauber's going. Unfortunately for them, it's going to be the last year that they get to do this before it's Audi. Now, maybe Audi might take some Kik Sauber ideas and designs. I highly doubt it. But it does bode well for the rest of the season. If Kik Sauber ends up going in this direction, they're going to keep that speed. They just need a little bit more durability. Antonelli, going into Q2, Antonelli was great from the Australian weekend. He is definitely one of the rookies that you do need to keep an eye on. And he just keeps getting faster and faster. And the confidence just keeps getting higher and higher and higher for this kid. The ceiling, there is no ceiling for this kid. Until he scares himself with something radically dumb or he just makes a really bad decision. But even at that, I think any kind of mistakes that Antonelli makes from here on out, he's just going to learn from it super, super fast. And he's just going to continuously get better. I do expect him to get more points than Russell this season. I do also expect Antonelli to be the number one rookie for this year and for him to get more points than half of the grid too. And we saw the first bit of mistakes from a bunch of these teams. It's qualifying Q2. It's not as long for a regular GP as a regular GP qualifying. It is sprint. A lot of teams got caught out. They needed to do one good lap. No warm-up, no nothing. Unfortunately, Racing Bulls were one of those. Isaac Hadjar had absolutely no time. He didn't make it out of his lap. He waited too long for his warm-up lap. He did not get a final lap in. So he didn't do anything wrong. It was the team's call. So Isaac Hadjar Isaac Hadjar automatically 15th with a no time because he didn't get around in time. Carlos Sainz, Haas, some Ferraris, Aston Martin, a bunch of these guys. Again, the teams went out. They barely made it across the start finish line to get their hot laps in. And this is how your bottom five end up from 11th to 15th, or start from 15. Isaac Hadjar, like I said, absolutely no time. 14th, Bortoleto in 13th, Carlos Sainz in 12th, Ollie Bearman, and finishing off 11th, Fernando Alonso. Not super disappointing for Fernando. He's been fighting the car last weekend. He was fighting the car again in qualifying for the sprint race. Hopefully Aston Martin can get that fixed up. From 1st to 10th was about 600th of a second difference, so much, much faster. This track is really getting rubbered in. These guys are moving like there's absolutely no tomorrow. Now, moving into Q3. Oh my God, it was ridiculously close, and it was very, very informational for everybody. Not only the teams that were in the top 10, but for every single team that was watching. You really saw the degradation of the tires start to come out. You can see some of the drivers panicking just a little bit. Because there's so many heavy turns and there's such a fast course, it's very front wheel heavy. You can see the degradation on these tires start to come in even after just qualifying. Sprint race, it's only like 19 or 14 laps. Like, it's not a very long time, so it's going to have to definitely change the strategy of a lot of these teams. Lewis Hamilton in this Ferrari absolutely finding his groove 110%. Is it the car? Is it the driver? In my opinion, it is 100% both. I think this is where Lewis needed to go. This is the right move for him, right move for Ferrari. He was absolutely on fire. Like, he was absolutely destroying these people. Absolutely. It's like everyone was standing still. If he can drive how he's qualifying in these sprint races and in qualifying in general, he is definitely 100% going to be a menace on the track for everybody else. Kind of confusing. McLaren pit everybody already super early with a minute 50 left in Q2 or Q3, I should say. Super confident, maybe a little bit too confident in their cars and in their drivers. Yes, they're still fast, just like last year, but yeah, it's not exactly going to be that easy for McLaren this year. Let's go through your top 10 from 10 to 1. Lance Stroll in 10, Alex Albon in 9th, Yuki Tsunoda in 8th, Antonelli in 7th, Lando Norris ends up 6th, George Russell in 5th, Leclerc in 4th, Oscar Piastri in 3rd, Max Verstappen in 2nd, and like I said, Lewis Hamilton in 1st. This is going to be one hell of a race. And with that excitement, that leads us right in to the sprint race again. Absolutely 100% clear weather. Man, everyone is on, not necessarily on edge, but they're very, very, very excited to see what happened. Nico Hülkenberg, unfortunately, first pit lane start of the year, changed a bunch of components in the actual car. Nothing that he did himself, 100% mechanical change. Kiksalba, not exactly the best start of the year. They were just super fast, super clean off the start. Everybody behaved themselves. Unfortunately, Lando Norris goes from 9th. He gets down to 9th. He loses 3 places. His pace, his start was off. It just was not a fantastic day at all for him. I think he's in his head a little bit that they won the Constructors' Championship, so he doesn't have to try that hard. I think he's getting a little surprised on how updated these cars are, how impressive and how influential some of these rookies can be, and how hard they absolutely want to get these wins and get these points. Lando Norris absolutely needs to do something about it. It was only 14 laps. Lewis Hamilton from start to finish. Man, he is so comfortable in that car. The strategy, they left him alone. There wasn't as much conversation between Lewis Hamilton's engineer and himself like last week in Australia. It was a little awkward. It was a little frustrating on both ends. They both have two different styles of communicating. They both have two different styles on how they do the races. It's going to take a little bit more time, but it was much more relaxed. It seemed a little bit more refined for them, even after a week. They didn't seem nearly as mad at each other as possible. Max Verstappen ends up passing Oscar Piastri, and it was just Max versus Piastri the entire race. Max having a little bit of trouble in the Red Bull. Red Bull is having some struggles, man. Like, Adrian Newey is gone. So the aerodynamic level for them is kind of, they've kind of hit their own ceiling, and they need to find that Adrian Newey ceiling. They need to find something new without going backwards. It also doesn't help for them that Red Bull is really, really hard on their tires. Doesn't matter if it was Checo, doesn't matter if it's Lawson, doesn't matter if it was Ricardo, doesn't matter if it's Max. Red Bull is ridiculously hard on their tires when it's really nice weather. If it's really shitty weather, their tires last forever. When it's really nice weather, they just burn through them like there's absolutely no tomorrow. Again, you could see this even after 14 laps with Max. He was struggling. They have to get this figured out sooner rather than later, or Max won't even be third in the Drivers' Championships, let alone win it. And just like before, you know what? There's absolutely no drama. There's no real anything to note. It was a super clean sprint race. And before you know it, it was done. Remember, only points count for the first eight drivers. Let's go through your top eight right now, starting from eight and landing on the first. Lando Norris in eighth, Antonelli in seventh, Yuki Tsunoda in sixth, Leclerc in fifth, Russell in fourth, Max Verstappen in third. Remember how I mentioned the tire degradation? It came to bite him in the ass. Second place, Oscar Piastri ended up passing him like it was child's play because Red Bull did not have the grip they needed to at that point. I think it was like lap 12 or 11. Tires need to last a lot longer than that on Red Bull. And the person who wins the very first sprint race of the 2025 season is none other than Lewis Hamilton with a split time of 6.95 seconds ahead of Oscar Piastri. Hamilton was just in a world of his own. The car reacted like it needed to. Super smooth driving, really good communication. Like I said, if Hamilton continues like this, he will be a force to be reckoned with in the 2025 season. So with the sprint race won and the points handed out, it's only time for one more thing. It's time for Grand Prix qualifying. Again, next day, weather, super fantastic. Parc Fermé rules are not in effect. They could make any kind of changes they absolutely wanted to up until the end of qualifying, and then your car is set for the Grand Prix. No full practice. Your practice was the sprint race. It was the sprint qualifying. So we're going to get right into Q1. The number one question on everyone's mind is Lando Norris's pace gone in qualifying in Grand Prix? What's going on with the car? Did they make any tweaks? Did they change anything? Is Lando Norris just not in the right mindset? Only time will tell. By the time Q1 was done from first to 15th, it was 0.9 of a second from first to 15th. Let me tell you, Lando Norris was at the top of that group. Whatever they told him, whatever he needed to tell himself, was absolutely what he needed to hear. If they did any tweaks in the car, they absolutely tweaked it in the right direction. Him and Oscar Piastri were absolutely 100% on rails from Q1 into Q2 all the way into Q3. It was, you know, the team to defeat was McLaren. They were back full bore, whole horses, all four tires. No matter what they were doing it right. Unlike some of these people, again, Liam Lawson, he, no matter what he's doing it wrong. He seems to be scared to drive that car. Now, I understand that I am saying this. I have never driven an F1, F2, F3, high-end go-kart, none of that. I've never driven any of that. But even myself, I can see when he's tentative in that car. When you see Fernando Alonso drive his POS Aston Martin, he's got more confidence. When you saw Checo drive the Red Bull last year, when you saw Daniel Ricciardo drive the Red Bull many years ago, like you saw the confidence, even when it was a shit car, when it was a bad setup, bad weekend, you could still see the confidence in the drivers that they trusted the car 100% more than what Liam Lawson is. He's taking wide lanes. He's taking wide turns. He's not accelerating like he needs to. He's not hitting the apex of the braking like he needs to. It's like he doesn't understand what he's supposed to do, or he's scared to push the envelope because if he crashes the car, then he's done. He doesn't want to overcommit because he might get in trouble, which is probably what's going to get him in trouble, is he's not that confident guy that they were looking at last season. He's not the confident driver everybody thought he was and the confidence that he would be bringing to Red Bull. He needs to pick it up. And not only was he was last by like so much. Like, it was embarrassing. He would have probably saved a lot of face. He definitely would have saved the tires. He would have saved the wear and tear on the parts in the car if he just stayed in pit lane or just didn't go out, period. Don't even sit in the car. You would have been further ahead in this case. Lawson's the slowest of all the rookies. He has absolutely 0 points, which definitely begs to mind, yeah, it was a great move for him, but I think instead of putting him in Red Bull, they should have put him in Racing Bulls with Isaac Hadjar, and they needed to bring up Yuki Tsunoda. Or you put Hadjar in the Red Bull seat, and then you see how well he does. And I think they just would have ended up putting Yuki Tsunoda in there anyways. I think Red Bull's kind of drafted themselves into a hole, into a corner. No matter, they're damned if they're doing, they're damned if they don't. If you bring Yuki Tsunoda up into Red Bull, you're going to have a fantastic first team. Second team's going to suck, but that's kind of what that second team's for. It's for learning. It's for getting confidence. It's for driving an F1 car that just maybe not be at the top of the peak. And I think that's what Liam Lawson needs. Top five drivers, a lot of rookies out in Q1. Liam Lawson in 20th, Barletto in 19th, Jack Doohan in 18th, Ollie Bearman in 17th, Pierre Gasly in 16th. Almost every single rookie is out in Q1 except for, I'm going to start calling him the prodigy, the promised child, Mercedes second coming. Antonelli definitely demolished all the rookies. He was up in the top five by the time Q1 was done. And this is the first run of the day. The tires aren't warm. Track's not really there yet. And he's still killing it that much. Moving straight on to Q2. McLaren, back-to-back form. I mean, they topped Q2 again. Not like it really mattered. They made it in Q3, but they were 1 and 2 by the time Q2 was done. And they're playing nicely. They don't need the team orders to don't crash, don't push. They're on the track at the exact same time. They're helping each other out. It's like they figured this out earlier. They didn't like last week where they didn't perform all that well. They didn't like how they performed in the sprint qualifying. Not exactly their finest moment. It wasn't exactly their finest moment for the sprint race either. I think they've just come together as a team, which is what you absolutely needed to see. Aston Martin struggling, mid-grade pace at best. I think they've upgraded themselves out of a solid spot on the grid for this season. Now, there's plenty of time to turn around. It's only the second race. It's only the third or fourth qualifying period. But from what we've seen so far, side pods aren't working. They need to go to more of a Red Bull shape. They need to go more to a McLaren Ferrari shape, which is a lot bubblier than what they have. It's not so many strict lines. When it's a softer line, when it's a curvier line, air flows off it a lot better. Aston Martin has kind of set themselves back a little bit. I see where they were going with it, but I don't think it's the right upgrade for them at all. From first to 10th was 0.8 of a second. So this track is getting faster and faster and faster. Unfortunately, for some people, that means you kind of got to get left behind. Unfortunately for Aston Martin, nobody made it past Q2. Let's go for the bottom five from 15th to 11th. Carlos Sainz in 15th, Lance Stroll in 14th, Fernando Alonso in 13th, Nico Hülkenberg in 12th, Esteban Ocon in 11th. So that shows you right there, both Aston Martins out in Q2. A little bit better than last year. They weren't exactly fantastic or blowing up the streets with their qualifying with the upgrade they had. Now, that being said, they have gotten a little better, but I don't think it's going to be enough as it sits right now. They need to look at what the rest of the cars have done, what the rest of the teams are looking, moving towards, and they kind of need to start copying that just a little bit just to be competitive. Which moves us right into Q3. This is where the big boys come to play. The track is in. It's marbled in. It's not nearly as slick as it was. These guys know this track a little bit better. They understand the racing lines much, much faster. Mercedes. It was kind of a Mercedes versus McLaren qualifying. Max really didn't have anything to do with this. The Red Bull, it's not necessarily struggling, but it's not dominating like it was last year. Everyone is just super fast, and it's just some guys and some teams upgrade a little bit better year after year. And some teams have this big, massive hit, and then they just kind of lose their way for at least a little bit. But, I mean, this is qualifying. You're not losing any points in qualifying. You're just going to make your day a little tougher. Super uneventful qualifying, which was nice. So let's just get right into your top 10. From 10th to 1st, let's go. Alex Albon in 10th. Yuki Tsunoda in 9th. Antonelli in 8th, a little bit lower than what he was in the sprint qualifying. Isaac Hadjar in 7th, Leclerc in 6th, Hamilton in 5th, Max Verstappen in a very unusual spot in 4th, Lando Norris in 3rd, Russell in 2nd, and Oscar Piastri in 1st. I mean, like I said, it was Mercedes versus McLaren. I don't want to say it's going to be like that for the entire season, but if it does stay like this, it's going to be very, very, very interesting. Hamilton will definitely, well, not Hamilton. George Russell can kind of compare to Lando Norris in this case. Antonelli, he has the potential to pair up against Oscar Piastri. He needs to find that slightly next level, and they're definitely going to be there. With all that being said, what does this actually mean? The times have been set. The grid is ready to go. The drivers are fantastic. Liam Lawson's got another pit lane, or has a pit lane start. So what can all of this mean? That means it is time for round two, the Chinese Grand Prix. 16 turns, 56 laps, 5.4 kilometers per lap. Grand top speed, 347.2 kilometers an hour. They are absolutely flying on this track. Number one thing that everyone has to keep an eye on that they have seen through the sprint qualifying, the sprint race, and the GP qualifying, tire degradation is definitely going to be big on mine. You cannot push this car too much. The tires will not hold. There's a new PSI rating for these tires for this weekend. Pirelli wants to know, how long will these tires last? Not exactly a great circuit for them to try this track. It's new, but it's slightly worn. It's not exactly the best time to start trying new things. Like I said, Liam Lawson, pit lane start as well. New suspension on the car, so not his issue, but it's not because he broke the suspension. It's because they want to try a new suspension system on his car. They're going to go from the Liam Lawson setup. They're going to go to the Max Verstappen setup now. They're going to see what's going to work, what's not. At this rate, unless Liam Lawson really picks it up, he is going to be the guinea pig for the evolution of the Red Bull of Max Verstappen. What works, what doesn't, what we need to keep, what we need to toss. That's even if Liam Lawson's around long enough to actually try all this stuff out. So let's get right into the race start. Very fast, very clean start from everybody. No crashes, no debris, no nothing. But then all of a sudden you see Charles Leclerc has got front wing damage. And we're wondering what the hell was that from? It's actually from Lewis Hamilton. What ended up happening is essentially if you picture Leclerc is in the back on the right-hand side, Hamilton is in front on the slightly more left-hand side. They ended up kind of coming towards each other. And what had happened was it just clipped the upper part of the wing. So if you're looking at the wing, you got the flat part where you can read the logo. You got those little side pieces right by the tire. That's what ended up getting hit and damaged. It got ripped right off of the car. Didn't actually seem to damage the car at all. It actually kind of seemed to help the car a little bit, let that airflow a little bit better than what it used to be. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ferrari took a look at that and made a couple of tweaks for the next race. Right off the bat, Max Verstappen losing two spots. Not a horrible start, not his best, but just that get up and go from the Red Bull seems a little bit slower. Gets passed by two cars automatically. It's just going to make his day even slower. Nico Hülkenberg, I don't know what the fuck he was doing. He lost seven spots off the start. Now, it's not like he just sat there and didn't do anything. He did get off the line relatively quickly, but whatever he did was definitely not good enough, whether it was a fast enough change, maybe it was a gearbox problem, maybe it was a transmission problem, whatever it was, but it made him lose seven spots before the very first turn. Not exactly the best day that you want to start with. Other than that, it was a really clean lap, super, super fast, until we get to lap four. Fernando Alonso, his brakes are on fire, reported from a couple of cars behind him. Then finally it was reported to him. He ends up being the only DNF of the entire race. Lap four, nothing that he did, nothing he could have done to repair it. It was just one of those things where maybe you're running just a little bit too fast and maybe you're just braking a little bit too hard and all of a sudden your ceramic brakes catch on fire. Really, really early evidence of tire degradation from everybody across the board. Some people were a little faster than others, but it was about 6 to 7 laps early degradation that we were thinking about, which really brought into how many stops are you going to do? Are you going to do a one stop? Are you going to do a two stop? How the hard is going to keep up compared to the mediums? What you started on, what your driving style is going to be is really going to determine in which place you're going to finish. Now, keeping that in mind, most drivers would go a little bit easy. Now, you want to be fast. You still want to be strategic, but you don't really want to really dig into those tires. Now, one person that was not really that strategic about it and really dug into their tires, but it didn't fall away from him right away, was George Russell. Super smart driving, passing very smartly, but yet being very aggressive on the braking. He went really deep, deeper than he normally would before he made those turns. He's giving himself that space. He's making room for what he needs to do around everybody else. It kind of seems like it kind of seems like he finally grew a pair, that he's not being so nice. He's also not nearly as whiny. Again, this is the second race. He's not nearly as whiny as he used to be when it came to he's super close. What's he doing? That's an illegal turn. He's super dangerous. All that kind of shit. He kind of seems, at least for now, to be steering away from that, which is really, really nice to see because he's concentrating more on his actual driving ability. He needs to be able to keep this up, keep his head, keep focused, not only for his own race, but for the actual team. Don't forget, Russell can't forget that he is the number one driver in Mercedes now. He's showing Antonelli what it's like and what it's meant to be a Mercedes driver. So hopefully he can keep this up and just keep gaining places and getting more points for the team. Ultimately, that is the goal for them. The race itself, coming from this point, it wasn't exactly a shocking race. It wasn't the most thrilling race in the world. There was more action mid-grid and a little bit further back than it was actually up front. It's the same three teams that are up front all the time, but the people you wanted to pay attention to, like Max Verstappen, he was stuck in sixth for the longest time. Absolute no man's land. Whatever they've done to the Red Bull, they need to fix it. They need to fix it fast. He's getting left behind. Ollie Bearman, fantastic race. Much more confident than Australia. When you give him good weather, you give him enough time to actually get used to the car, you see what he can actually do. You can see what the hype was in Ferrari and the reason why Haas brought him in. He started in 17th, ends up getting seven spots with what seemed to be relative ease. He's learned how to pick his spots. He's learned how to drive efficiently yet aggressively when he needs to. He doesn't make any stupid decisions. He doesn't need to make more mistakes than he absolutely has to, and he's come to realize this. He knows he doesn't have a top of the grid car. He's learned to work with what he's got. You can only push the Haas so far, so you push it as far as the Haas can go and maybe a tiny bit more. He's learning this very, very efficiently. Not necessarily slowly. He's learning this very efficiently. He's learning this through repetition. And when you've got, when you get a result like this, when you end up gaining seven spots pretty much out of nowhere with no massive surprising moves, no big battles or anything like that, it's actually really, really nice to see. What's kind of not nice to see, Ferrari kind of back to their old strategic ways. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. They did seem a little bit clumsy. At one point, there was a Hamilton-Leclerc spot change, which didn't really, position switch, which didn't really make a whole lot of sense. They weren't super close. They weren't super far. One person wasn't exactly faster than the other. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense. I didn't really see the point of them switching. Hamilton and his engineer, their communication started to break down a little bit. Leclerc sounded super frustrated about the car, about the pace, about Hamilton, like about the team, about life in general. It's like, it was one of those days for Ferrari where the grass was never green enough. The sky was not blue enough. The car was never fast enough. Let's just, kind of get this over with and then just move on. Jack Doohan picks up his very first penalty of the year, 10-second penalty for him for forcing Hadjar off the road. These guys know each other from F3 and F2. It's not that they don't like each other. They just kind of barely tolerate each other, which will make for a very interesting storyline throughout the year. But if this race is anything to consider for the rest of the season, they're going to be exchanging penalty points back and penalty seconds back and forth the entire season. It's not like that it was aggressive driving. It was just kind of like proving their point over and over and over again. I can pass you on this corner. Then you're going to pass me on this corner. I'm going to push you a little bit further. You're going to push me a little bit further. Oh, you pushed me too far. 10-second penalty. No matter what, I'm going to be ahead of you now. It was one of those kind of a pissing contest type of races for them. Super entertaining to watch. And let's be honest, it was kind of the most entertaining part of this race. But you can start to see that storyline develop for this season and for 2026 and beyond. I don't want to say I see this hitting a climax where somebody gets hurt or someone makes a crash, but I can see it getting uglier the longer this season goes on. Everything's all good and hunky-dory for everybody except until lap 47 and out of nowhere, straight line stretch, Yuki Tsunoda's, I believe it's the front right wing if you're looking at it the way he is, it just falls apart. When you see the words Haas, those two little wings, it just snaps right off. Full damage to the front wing. He does end up finishing the race. He doesn't DNF or anything, but that definitely takes him out of the top 10. I think he would have made the top 10 if that wouldn't have happened. He would have had to have tried hard for it, but it definitely didn't help his race. Little frustrating for Yuki Tsunoda, but not necessarily showing his frustration, showing a little bit more understanding and adult attitude. Okay, it happened. It sucks. I kind of have to move on. Super unfortunate. Really weird to watch too. Like, it was just, it's there, it's there, it's there. And then it's just poof. It's not, not something you see very often on any kind of F1 cars. And yeah, folks, that's pretty much how that race ended. Let's go through your top 10 right now from 10 to 1. Ollie Bearman in 10th. Really good, really, really good pace to get some points. Alex Albon in 9th. Antonelli in 8th. Esteban Ocon in 7th. Really good patience to hold off Antonelli. He didn't try anything harder than he needed to kind of block his way. Good job for Esteban Ocon. Lewis Hamilton in 6th. Leclerc in 5th. Max Verstappen in 4th. Russell in 3rd. Lando Norris in 2nd. And Oscar Piastri takes the win at the Chinese Grand Prix with a time difference of 9.7 seconds. It was just one of those dominance from start to finish. Let's get into your drivers' championships right now. Starting in 10th, Leclerc with 8 points. Hamilton in 9th with 9 points. Lance Stroll in 8th with 10 points. Tie with Esteban Ocon in 7th with also 10 points. Alex Albon in 6th with 16 points. He has more points in the first two races than he did all season last year. Antonelli in 5th with 22 points. Oscar Piastri in 4th with 34 points. Max Verstappen in 2nd with 36 points. And Lando Norris in 1st with 44 points. Constructors' Championships. McLaren is on top with 78 points. And it goes Mercedes with 57. Red Bulls in 3rd with 36 points. Williams in 4th with 17. Tied with Ferrari with 17 points as well. Haas is in 6th with 14 points. Aston Martin's in 7th with 10. Kvyat's in 8th with 6 points. Racing Bulls is in 9th with 3 points. And Alpine has absolutely no points at all. Now, because we've got so many rookies this year, I've decided to do a rookie standing as well. We're going to cover this at the end of every race as well. So rookie standings, we have Antonelli in 1st with 22 points. Ollie Bearman's in 2nd with 4 points. And 3rd place is tied by Hadjar, Lawson, Doohan, and Bortoleto, all of them with 0 points. I definitely expect this to change. A lot of these rookies are really talented. They can get the points they absolutely need. And you would think that would be it. That would be the Chinese Grand Prix. But no, you are wrong. A couple hours after that, 3 drivers get disqualified from the Chinese Grand Prix. 2 for weight, 1 for skid plate usage. And this is going to be super unfortunate for all the Tifosi fans. Both Ferrari cars get disqualified for the Chinese Grand Prix. Leclerc gets disqualified because he is underweight. With the driver and the car, it has to be an absolute minimum of 800 kilos. They are 799 kilos. Pierre Gasly also gets the boot. He is also underweight, 799 kilos. And Lewis Hamilton gets disqualified as well because his skid plate had too much wear on it. Now, what does that mean? Quick explanation. The skid plate is essentially what determines how low your car is. You're allowed a certain amount of grind away. Like when you hit bumps and you see those sparks, that's the grind plate. You do that too much, your car is riding too low. If your car is riding too low, it gives you an unfair advantage because there's extra downforce. Now, Hamilton got busted with this, and you're going to laugh when you hear this measurement. The distance that he got busted with is he ground his plate down. Take your credit card. You see how thick that is? Now cut that in half. It is half the width of a credit card is how much his skid plate grinded down too much. And he just gets disqualified. 0 points for Ferrari. Very, 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 very unfortunate weekend for everybody involved. And that, folks, in a nutshell, is the Chinese Grand Prix round 2 over and done with. When is the next race, you ask? Well, we are going to Japan April 4th to April 6th weekend. This is not a sprint weekend, and the times are not actually so bad for us here in Calgary. If you're watching everything, Full Practice 1 is on Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Full Practice 2 on Friday is at midnight. Full Practice 3 is still Friday at 8:30 p.m. Qualifying is Saturday at midnight, and the race itself is on Sunday at 11 p.m. Oh, no, sorry. It is Saturday, same day. Saturday, same day, 11 p.m. Sorry, I messed that one up. Qualifying is Saturday morning, so like midnight from Friday / Saturday morning, and then the race itself is Saturday at 11 p.m. at night. Sorry, guys. So yeah, the times are not actually all that bad. We'll be able to watch everything. Japan is a very, very fast track. It's a good track. It is also a track that can get hit with weather out of absolutely nowhere. When it rains, it absolutely pours in Suzuka. The only difference between Australia and Japan when it comes to the rain is Japan actually has F1 certified paint, so we shouldn't see nearly as many wipeouts if it does rain that weekend. And there you have it. That is the breakdown of the Chinese Grand Prix. As always, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. This comes from the bottom of our hearts here from F101. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we absolutely love. So until the Japanese Grand Prix, keep those tires turning and that engine revving. We will talk to you next time on F101.